In the name of one God, Holy Trinity, Amen.
Amen.
So, full disclosure here this morning, from time to time, I have what I consider to be a bad day. Honestly, sometimes one bad day turns into another bad day, which turns into another. And I look up from that experience and I realize that I have now had a string of bad days. For the most part, I consider my life to be epic, but from time to time, it takes a dip and I find myself struggling. I know this never happens to any of you, but I can tell you that it happens to me at least from time to time. So now that the cat's out of the bag and you know both that I have bad days and that I am not a Beatles fan, I will let you in on some more scandalous news, or news that at first may seem scandalous, but alas, is not. By now, you have a pretty good sense of the importance of the story of the Bible in my life. Yes, you have some sense of this. You know that the story of Scripture guides the decisions that I make, the way that I parent my kids, the manner in which I show up as a husband or a friend or a coworker. It's so much a part of who I am that it would be awfully hard to separate it out of my identity. The story is so alive in my life that sometimes I feel like I can breathe it. And it stays fresh and alive as I read these stories over and over and over again. So here comes that part that might at first seem scandalous. Just as I have bad days, and sometimes a string of bad days, I feel like the story of the Bible does too. I feel like the Bible can have a bad day, and sometimes I feel like it can have a string of bad days. I might even feel like what the lectionary has picked out for us this morning is a string of the Bible's bad days. We'll say more about that in a sec, but I want to give a word of caution first. If you're sitting here this morning right now thinking, I knew it, Bart's that liberal, he doesn't take the Bible seriously like preachers should. If that's what you're thinking, I want to push back. I want to challenge that thinking. Really? I don't take the Bible seriously? I do. I have modeled my life after the Hebrew and Christian scriptures. It is a part of my very identity. One more word of caution. If you are sitting here right now thinking, yes, I knew it, Bart's, he's a liberal like me who doesn't pay any attention to what's going on in that crazy old book. If that's what you're thinking, I want to push back on that too. This book, these stories, this God we find in the thousands of pages that I've read and reread and reread and reread, this is what guides and informs my life, all of my decisions, each of our moves, our dreams and failures, and everything else. It's my primary map. I have others, I do, but the Bible is my primary map. So back to the Bible having bad days. You know these Sundays, wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise up against nation. The mother-in-law will hate the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law will hate the mother-in-law. It's those Sundays I'm talking about. There's a tone. I know you hear it. If you're anything like me, maybe you recognize yourself in it too. Maybe I'm slightly less dramatic on my bad days than the Bible, but I hear the tone. I do. The tone is one of dread. It can sound like hopelessness. Typically, a bad day in the Bible narrates a time of deep division. Division between members of families, division between groups of people, and of course, division between people and the God who loves them. These bad days of the Bible narrate tough times, and usually they're present future tough times, prophesying a rough road ahead. Before I began to take the Bible seriously, I ignored these biblical bad days. I would just page past them. I suppose, honestly, I might have done the same thing in regard to my own bad days. Ignoring them, just trying to push past it, just trying to grind it out. Probably this isn't the healthiest approach to life, right? I like to think that at midlife here, I'm learning something. Just to stop, observe, get present to the present moment without judgment, acknowledge the struggle, maybe put that struggle into context. Yeah, you're struggling here, Jimmy. Sometimes life's a struggle. Everyone struggles. And if I remember, a little self-soothing, a little hand on the heart, couple of pats. There, dear heart. Not ignoring the things that are pulling me down or putting me off balance, but acknowledging them with some self-compassion. There's always something to learn here. It tends to put me back on track to working towards something good, something loving, something positive rather than the opposite. If my own bad days are an indicator that something needs attention in my own life, a little extra care, I suppose it's the same for these biblical bad days. And let me say this as clearly as I can without triggering a necessary alarm or bringing up any shame or inciting any defensiveness. Just give me a moment of mercy. Stay open. I don't think dragons or fiery angels or three-headed beasts or a 10-story tall Jesus is coming back to wreck things. I believe the apocalyptic literature from the scripture to be full of symbol and metaphor. And I believe that because it is. That's just the way it is. If you are reading the apocalyptic scripture literally, you're off track. It's not literal. It was never meant to be read that way. Nearly every aspect of Scripture is not meant to be read literally. It's a story. It doesn't mean it's any less powerful. Stories are the most powerful things that we have other than God in human culture. That's not my point. Stick with me. Stay open. When I'm looking at our current culture, at what's going on in our country and around the world, and I should say first, no one is to blame, no one, rather everyone is all of us. We're all contributors. But when I look around and listen carefully, politics in Washington or another 2 children killed and 5 more wounded, I can think, yeah, it's a string of bad days for us. It is. Maybe not all of us feel it. We're pretty protected here. But surely many of us do, indirectly at the very least. These rifts, this violence, this grandstanding, this self-centeredness coming from each and every corner and every angle of the shape of our culture and our community. And I can tell you that we are the people who are responsible, with God as our partner, we are the people responsible for turning this around. Yes, little old you, little old me, little old us, we are. This work of turning division into connection is ours. You say, wow, Jimmy, you mean St. John's Episcopal Church in Jackson, Wyoming is responsible for recentering this whole thing? And let me ask you, if not us, then who? How would we do that, you ask? Well, optimistically and ambitiously, I would tell you that I think that we've already started. It's a slow start, of course, but I think we've already started. If we can cover this valley with love like snow covers it in the wintertime, then why not the state? And if the state, then why not the Mountain West? And if the Mountain West, then why not the country? Let me ask you this. What if we failed? What if we didn't cover the country with love? We just covered the Mountain West. What if our failure was more immediate? We didn't cover the Mountain West. We just covered the state. Maybe our failure is more comprehensive. We don't cover this whole state of Wyoming with love. We just cover this valley. That's it. That's all. Just little old, insignificant, not influential Teton Valley, Wyoming. What if we just covered Teton Valley, Wyoming in civility, compassion, and love? I know for a fact that we don't all see eye to eye politically in this church. I know that we disagree about how and where houses and buildings and hotels might be built here in this valley. I know we don't all agree about who gets to work here, who gets to go to school here, who gets care from the hospital here. And I know that we will disagree about how to keep our school children safe. But I believe we can come together around love, who we know to be God, as John writes in 1 John. We can continue and expand our loving mission here, right here. Church, the world needs our loving attention, and we darn sure are going to give it. Our foremothers and our forefathers handed us this work. The Spirit is right beside us, just as it was right beside them as they cut logs for our first and some of our present day buildings. We have inherited a legacy of love, and we have both the privilege and the responsibility of extending it toward people who don't feel it. We cover this valley in love like snow covers it in the winter time. That's the work that's before us. Amen.